Every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, it's known as Good Shepherd Sunday, because no matter what liturgical year it is, we're always going to be reading from John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 speaks, of course, of Christ, Jesus himself, as the Good Shepherd. What does it say today? It says, I am the Good Shepherd. Why? Because a Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Of course, we know this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Maybe we've seen that beautiful image of Jesus carrying the lamb on his shoulders. We know that's what we're called to do, is to abandon ourselves to him, the shepherd. I know for myself, at my first communion, my godmother gave me an image of the Good Shepherd. And there's all these different sheep, and of course the one carrying the lamb. I think in the background's a black sheep. I think that might be me and my family sometimes. But anyways, it's a beautiful image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, because he truly cares about us. Jesus goes on to say, a hired man, whenever danger comes, whenever evil comes, will run away. But Jesus doesn't run away from evil. Jesus doesn't run away from Satan. Instead, we know what happens. He takes him on. He battles against him. And he defeats the evil one. Later in this passage, we hear, what does Jesus do as well? Not only for his own flock, but for those who do not belong to him yet. So Jesus came not just for the Israelites, but for the whole world. He does what? I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. We see how he does this on the cross and in the resurrection, laying down his life and also taking us up with him. Where? As a shepherd leads us where? Well, for Jesus leading us to heaven. This is what he longs to do, to be with his Father. We may all be one as we hear today. A couple years ago, the Vatican decided that the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, would also be known as World Day of Prayer for Vocations. This makes sense. Hopefully when we think of a shepherd, a good shepherd, we can think of priest. And we're called to pray for more men to respond to the call to the priesthood, more women to respond to the call to religious life. Of course, this is what we pray for every single time we come to Mass here at St. John's, the prayer for vocations. The line that always gets me, by the way, still now, where it says, choose from our homes those needed for your work. Choose from our parish those needed for your work. This is what we pray for, that we may respond like so many shepherds, good shepherds have done before, following in the example of Jesus, laying down their life, not just for the flock entrusted to them, but to those that are not as well. So today I want to share a story with you of some good shepherds. When I first think of a good shepherd that laid down his life for someone, I think the one that probably comes to mind for most of us, we're probably familiar with the story, is St. Maximilian Kolbe, who laid down his life in Auschwitz for a man who said, please don't send me away. I have a family. So he takes his place. But today I want to share a story with you of people who are kind of known as the Shreveport Martyrs. This is based out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Of course, we know the United States, we're still a relatively new country. Our faith is still, you know, growing, hopefully. We're a Christian country. We got other things we need to work on. But in the early part of our history of the United States, of course, we know we're exploring from the original colonies into the new world. Well, in 1813, Bishop Louis de Bourgh, who was the Bishop of Louisiana and the two Floridas, I'm not exactly sure what the two Floridas are, but he was the bishop, sent a letter to the seminaries in France asking for seminarians to respond to the call to work in the mission field of America, the United States. And this was his recruiting letter. We offer you no salary, no recompense, no holidays or pension, but much hard work, a poor dwelling, few consolations, many disappointments, frequent sickness, a violent or lonely death, and an unknown grave. I don't know if I'd sign up for that one, right? And yet we know so many from Europe came over here. Yes, those looking for a new life, but for the seminarians, the young priest saying these new this new land also needs good shepherds. So they responded. They responded in force. Praise God. Well, in 1873 in Shreveport, Louisiana, which, by the way, is kind of in the northwest part of Louisiana, it's now the third biggest city in Louisiana. Back then, it was a bustling commerce town because it was right on the kind of the border of Arkansas and Texas and Louisiana. It was on a river, so much trading was happening. It was kind of the way out to the frontier of Texas. Well, in September of 1873, yellow fever struck the region. This wasn't uncommon. Yellow fever happens with mosquitoes and everything else. And back then, they didn't actually know how it was spread. But three men showed up from kind of the boondocks into an infirmary in Shreveport, Louisiana. And they didn't allow them into the infirmary. They were afraid it was going to cause greater sickness. So two of the men the next day had passed away. The third followed. Over the next 10 days, the town was getting infected more and more with yellow fever. But they didn't want to shut down the town. They knew if they told the government that yellow fever had been in their town, they were going to shut down the whole town. They're going to have to quarantine, and it was going to shut down commerce. So they said, let's just keep it quiet. This was a really bad idea, by the way. Well, after 10 days, they finally acknowledged that they had an epidemic on their hands, and one that they've never seen before to the likes. So they finally said, we need to declare that we have yellow fever. By this time, it was too late. It was spreading. On the early part of this epidemic, the medical professionals were trying their best, but they too got infected. As the town saw this, they started to flee to go to their own safety. But as this happened, the church in the town, the Catholic Church of Holy Trinity, and the new convent in town as well, the convent of the Sisters of the Cross, opened up their doors to those who were sick. The pastor's name was Father Jean Pierre. And Father Jean Pierre built the first Catholic parish in Shreveport, Louisiana, of Holy Trinity. It's still there today. He'd been in that region since 1854, trying to serve the souls. But up there in northwest Louisiana, it was actually a predominantly Protestant area, actually a very big Jewish area as well. But the Catholics were trying to make inroads. And because of this, the year before, they had sent another associate priest to Father Pierre, Father Isidore, a young 26-year-old, to be the associate pastor. Well, as they opened up the doors, you can imagine what happened. Both Father Jean Pierre and Father Isidore quickly got the yellow fever as well. So they sent word to Father Jean Marie Belier, who lived about 2 miles out of town. He was a chaplain in a convent a couple miles away. And they asked him, can you come and help us? We need the sacraments. We need help to minister to those on the deathbed. Not just the Catholics, but the Protestants as well, and the Jewish people. So we know back in the 1800s, medical technology was not around, and it was often the religious and the priests who were the most well-educated back then. So they started to minister and offer comfort. It was Father Jean Marie and Father Isidore finally succumbed to the yellow fever. Father Isidore passed away on September 15th. Father Jean Marie passed away on September 16th. So this put Father Belier in an awkward position. because he too had succumbed to yellow fever. He knew that he was sick. So he sent a letter to the bishop, but this time all of Louisiana know what's going on in Shreveport. It's a population of about 4,800 people, by the way. Overall, a fourth of the population passed away from yellow fever. So Father Beliar was in an awkward position saying, I too need to receive the sacraments, but so do these other people who are on their deathbed. And so he contacted the bishop. The bishop knew what he had to do. He had to send other shepherds into Shreveport. And two of them readily volunteered. Father Isidore, he passed away. But when this happened, Father Francis Lavazut, as well as Father Louis Godard, both were willing to go into Shreveport. And they knew what was going to happen to them. What Father Godard wrote was this: write to the bishop and tell him I go to my death. It is my duty, and I must go. By the way, all these priests were all from France, from the same region. Choose from our homes those needed for your work. And now they're going to serve a flock that they really didn't know much about. These two priests volunteering to come in from 20, 25 miles away. The other priest as well, Father Lavazut, was prepared to leave. Someone said to him, you are going to your death. He responded, I believe it, but it is the shortest and surest path to heaven. Indeed, the priest's own prophecies proved true, for both contracted the virus upon arriving in Shreveport. Providentially, they were able to get there before Father Beliar passed away. He passed away on September 26. On October 1st, Father Godard passed away, and Father Bazut on October 8th. Maybe wondering to yourself, Father, why would people go in? See, they were taking stagecoaches into Shreveport as the town was trying to flee. They were coming in because they knew that these people who were infirm and sick, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jewish people, they needed comfort. They needed care. They needed God. And so they responded as being the good shepherd, not as a hired man who flees, instead one who lays down his life for his sheep. Eventually, in November of that year, the merciful frost came. When the frost came, of course, it killed all of the mosquitoes, and the virus was killed off as well. These five men, these five priests, as well as two religious sisters and a novice as well, are now servants of God. They're known as the Shreveport Martyrs, laying down their life. Why? Because they wanted to shepherd these people where? To heaven. In order to do this, they had to lay down their own life so that they could receive the sacraments, to not be alone on their deathbed, but instead to receive that food for the journey, to receive the Eucharist. My brothers and sisters, we need to continue to pray for more men and women like this who respond to this call to be good shepherds, to lay down their own life, because how much has this helped us in our own life as well? All those who have shepherded us throughout the years, the priests and the sisters and the deacons, we praise God for them. But today as well, we pray that we may respond generously to that call to serve the Lord and to follow in the example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and all the good shepherds have gone before us as well.